Welcome to the Bluegrass Bammer podcast. I'm Stephanie Boyd, your host. In case you didn't know, Bammer stands for Badass Mother Runner. This podcast will bring you stories from across Kentucky and beyond about badass women running and the people that support them. Let's get started. Hey guys, it's Stephanie Boyd back with another episode, and today I am actually very pleased to let you all meet a friend of mine, Stephanie Lear. She is a fellow Urban Bourbonite. We were Urban Bourbonites together in 2019, which is the ambassadorship for the local Urban Bourbon Half Marathon here in Louisville. And I've just been really lucky to get to know her a little bit better over the last year or two. We have lots of mutual running friends. And I really wanted Stephanie to come on and share with us really just how she got into running. Stephanie actually had smoked for about 15 years prior to starting her running journey, and then decided to quit cold turkey and signed up for her first 5K shortly after that. And so we talk about that experience, kind of how her running journey has evolved, including the moment when she felt like she was truly a runner, and how running has positively impacted her life. So I think you all have a lot of good positive energy that's going to come out of this particular podcast. And I know that you'll enjoy stories and insight, especially if you're new to running or have started your running journey but not sure how to push yourself forward. She's got some great tips and a good pep talk for you. So enjoy the show. Thanks, guys.
Welcome back, everybody, to the next episode of the Bluegrass Bammer podcast. I am here today with Stephanie Lear, a friend, a fellow Urban Bourbonite, and all around fun person to be around. And I can't wait for you all to meet her as well. Hi, Stephanie. Good morning.
Hello, Stephanie. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming. I appreciate it. I know this was kind of a last minute thing because typically I've scheduled these way in advance and give you like time, and I didn't. I just dropped this on you like a couple weeks ago, and you were like, yes. So I appreciate you doing this on such short notice.
No problem. Anything for you.
Thanks. I'll remember that. I'm writing that down right now. Everyone heard that? Anything for Stephanie. Okay. So Stephanie, for those people who are listening who may not know you, we usually start out the show by you telling us a little bit about yourself in the form of how you identify as a human being. So what are some labels that you put on yourself so people listening can get to know you a little bit better?
Well, again, my name is Stephanie. I identify myself as a woman, single, dog lover, runner. And a hard worker. Mm-hmm. There's some.
Those are good labels. More,
but those are just off the top of my head.
Those are all excellent. Identify with some of those labels also. So I was thinking about the first time that I met you before this podcast. I know. You were just like a huge ball of energy. So I don't know if you want to put that as an identifier. Ball of energy, is that one word? But I feel like you have this aura around you that's like pretty positive and happy all the time. And that's how I think about you too when I think about the first time I met you. But I looked back at your history on Facebook to see when you joined Moms Run This Town, She Runs This Town. It's a pretty cool date. It's December 31st of 2017. Do you remember that?
It was. Yes, I do.
So let's step back a minute. We're going to talk about that because somehow Moms Run This Town, She Runs This Town, like always gets into these conversations some way. They sneak in. So we'll probably talk about that in a minute. But you identify as a runner, so I want you to tell me, because I don't know this about you, what your first memory of running is. When do you remember running for the first time? Were you really young? Were you older? And what was your experience?
First time running, I ran through the zoo, 5K, by myself. My husband at the time, was there, but he was injured. And I had never ran before. I had quit smoking I smoked for 15 years and I had quit smoking for about a year and a half previously. Took a year off after I quit smoking to kind of just not get back to smoking, kind of break the habit. And then just started trying to run and be healthier. And I said, oh, I'm going to do Through the Zoo. So Through the Zoo is my very first 5K. And that's how I started running.
What year was that 5K?
Oh, gosh. My 10-year smoking anniversary will be Labor Day. So it was probably about 9 years ago. Was it
2011?
It had to be later than that.
Did you train for that race or did you know other runners? How did you know you wanted to do a 5K? How did you decide on that? And like, because I mean, I think 5K, the people that don't run in general, that's what they think of like as a race distance. Was that just something, just arbitrary race distance that you picked or what led you to that?
It just looked fun. My husband was a runner. He was a runner all through high school and through college. And he had had knee surgery and thought he'd never be able to run again. And then within 2 years, he was back to running and training for marathons and such. And I just thought, you know, if I'm going to try to get healthier, I'm going to just, it's free and go out and run. So no, I didn't really train. I just did it. It was really, really hard. It was really hot that day. It was miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of just did 5Ks here and there for, it was probably about 8 years ago, I would say. And then I just did random 5Ks here and there because my stepson was in cross country. Mm-hmm. Cross country track kept me just trying to keep up with him a little bit.
Yeah.
But I would say I became a true runner December 31st, 2017.
Yeah, I hang on to that date because I feel like that's significant. And I do remember when you came into the group and I think that you asked, and this is also one of my first impressions of you, and not because of the question, but because other women would ask it too when they would come into the group, like, I'm not a mom. Like, so I'm a stepmom, and does that count? Can I still be in the group? I remember you asking that. And we were like, yes, of course, any woman can be in the group. You don't have to, like, actually have your own child to be a part of this group. So that's how I remember you, too, as you were asking, is it cool for me to be in here? So how did you find out about Moms Run This Town?
Facebook. I was drinking a bottle of wine.
This is where all great things happen, right? You're on Facebook after a bottle of wine.
I'll take it back a little bit. I was in a really depressing state. It was really, I was in a bad place mentally. And I didn't know what to do. I was just kind of drinking and trying to process it on my own. And it went through the whole entire holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas. And I was kind of drinking a little, probably too much just to kind of figure out things. And I was going through Facebook one day and I saw this run club, and I am not a club person. I'm not going to join sports teams in high school. I was the one smoking weed. You know, I wasn't running. No sororities, none of that good stuff. So I don't know what, I guess that wine really hit me because I was like, I'm going to sign up for the Triple Crown. So I signed up for the Triple Crown that night. I had made a promise with a friend that we would run it together. And we were no longer talking. And I said, screw it. I'm going to run it myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the wine gave me enough courage to pay for the fee and then click add to Facebook Moms Run This Town.
What did you, what were you thinking? Like, this is a cult? Or did you have any first impressions of it?
I wasn't sure what I was getting into. All I know is that I had just made a commitment to myself that I was not going to follow through. I was going to follow through with it 100%. And I knew that I would need support. And I didn't know how to get that support. And I thought, this might be my only answer. So I'm going to give it my all. So I didn't know what to expect at all.
And you had no idea what to expect about training for the Triple Crown either, because obviously you had been doing 5Ks, so you hadn't gone that next distance either.
Yeah, and even that was some walking and running, and it wasn't really, I never considered myself a runner until I started training.
Okay, yeah. makes it a little more official, right?
It does.
Yeah. So what was your experience like training for the Triple Crown? Did you think when you started running after you stopped smoking, did you ever think you would be running a series of races when you started doing this?
Absolutely not.
I didn't even know what the Triple Crown was probably when I started running. I didn't even know there was such a thing. I knew there were 5Ks and I knew there were marathons, but that's pretty much what I knew about running.
I had no idea. I had no idea that there was after 5K. I didn't know there was a 10K and a 15K and a 10 miler and the downtown doubler, you know, 18.6 miles. I had no idea that there was all of this out there. So I'm sure there's tons of people that don't. And I'm trying to always announce it to everyone.
Yeah. So how did you feel after you completed your first Triple Crown? Do you remember?
Oh my God. Do I remember? Yeah. It was amazing. At that point, I had joined my very first Alpha Run with Moms Run This Town. I felt bad because I was the only one that showed up, pretty much. It was ice-covered trail at Tom Sawyer Park that did it. And I will never, never forget Carmen and Julie being there. I had met another group up for a run, and that is when I met Norma and Megan, Kim Priest, and I met Laura later on, but Laura was part of that group. Erin, there's so many. I came in, yeah, it was such a great day. And then I just started running with them. It's kind of like we all kind of bonded together. I almost think like we were like the Goonies. We all kind of connected, and we were just running together, and just, it was so amazing. And I felt so, I felt like I belonged to something and a part of something and into a group. And we would run each race together, you know, not together, but we would meet up and join, be there for the Moms Run This Town group picture. And I couldn't believe how, like, I could do it. And I did it well. I struggled, but I did it. Mm-hmm. And it was probably the first time I've ever felt like I had accomplished something. And it was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think... running for a lot of people, like to kind of have this goal and you accomplish it. I mean, there's something just really empowering about being able to do that on your own. No one can do that for you, right? No one can train for you. No one can cross the finish line for you. No one can even show up. You have to do all of that on your own. And I think for a lot of us, you know, just going through life, we've had help, or maybe we have done things on our own, but we haven't been successful, but people impact the outcome. But in this sense, really, you're on your own. Like, it's up to you to do it all and finish it, and no one's going to help you. You have to do it on your own. So I think there's something really like just a sense of empowerment and feeling like, okay, if I can do this, there's probably other stuff I can do that I didn't realize that I could, whether it's running related or something else, just in life in general. I know Moms Run This Town has helped me branch out and try other sports and just do things. I mean, nothing seems as hard as it did probably before, if that makes sense. Like, yeah, it could be difficult, but I know I can do it if I try. So I love that about you guys. You get me into all kinds of messes, by the way.
Exactly.
Good messes. But so the Alpha Runs are something that you started doing, and for those that don't know, we do Alpha Runs there. Alpha is starting over or a new beginning is kind of the origin of that word. And so these are runs for people who are not runners or who haven't been running for a long time and are trying to get back to running. And it's a really non-threatening way to show up and have people support you. And you can run with the women there, or you can run on your own, and they're kind of in front of you or behind you, whatever you're comfortable with. And it's a really nice way to get back to it or get to it without feeling like there's so much pressure. But also, like, people that start running don't know what the hell they're doing when they start. And so it's very helpful to have people who have done it already and can kind of give you tips and pointers and things like that. So you came to those in the beginning, and now you help lead those once a month. And of course, we've suspended them right now because of coronavirus and everything. But What do you think is the thing, besides just like feeling like you belong to a group, what are some of the things that you learn from other runners being a part of that group? And what do you teach people, or what do you help people with now when you lead them?
Oh my gosh, I feel like I learned so much. And that's the reason why I wanted to lead runs, is because I wanted to give back a little bit, or a portion of what I get from everyone in the group. There's so much. I would have never known about interval running. I would have never known that I could have such friendships. We can start from that. I would never know that I could have such friendships with people that are so different than me, or the same for me. I mean, it's all over the board, but I've made such great friends because we all have that one thing in common, and that's we're all trying to run. We all have different whys, but learning everyone's whys, I love getting to know people. I love relationship building. I love when the alpha runs start or a group run starts, and I get to meet new people, and we get to talk while we're running and share stories, and I get to hear from other people. And the motivation, the drive, sometimes there's races that I'm like, someone will say, let's do it. And I'm like, okay. So it happens. I have a $600 roommate that I call Fancy Bike. I would have never bought a road bike if it was this group. I can't stop with what I take away, what I learn, what I get from the group. It's endless. Every day, it's something new.
Yeah, I think half of us wouldn't have road bikes if it wasn't for this group. They say running's so inexpensive, but you know, it's really not true. Really not true. Well, I love watching you go and lead those groups now. It's kind of like you've come full circle, because I've watched you since you've come into the groups do so many things. So tell us, like, once you finished the Triple Crown, then what did you set your eye on, and kind of give us a progression from 2017 through now, because you've done some pretty awesome things. Some of them you even kind of kept on as a secret until you did them. So we're going to talk about that. But so tell us a kind of progression of what you've done since that first Triple Crown. It doesn't have to be perfectly in order, but you know.
Okay. Since the Triple Crown, after the Triple Crown, I did the KDF relay with some office coworkers. And I did the last leg, but at the time I thought I was injured. Ended up being, I had some lower back issues and it was bothering my IT band. So I kind of took about 6 to 8 weeks off, which did not make me happy, because my goony group of women that I had, you know, that was going on to run the Philly half marathon, I couldn't run with them. And then at that point I was starting over. So after that, I had my eye on running my own half marathon. Everybody else just did. So I signed up for Urban Bourbon. Had no idea anything about it. Had no idea how hilly it was. None of that. And I believe I signed up for the run-a-thon. I think I did all three of them. I always do a bunch of 5Ks in the summer just to keep me going, but the Urban Bourbon kind of got me back on track to where I needed to be. It was the best damn thing in the world. Like, I know people say, how do you run half marathons? That was my very first one. It was amazing. I would never take memory away. It was amazing. I loved every minute of it. Laura and I started, well, I will tell you, I was standing in front of the porta potty and everyone had started and I needed to go pee. And I was so nervous and I looked down on my phone and somebody had text messaged me some words of affirmation, you know, just giving me a positive note. So I looked down and Miss Stephanie Boyd had text messaged me, good luck on your first half marathon, you can do it. So then I'm crying. I'm literally crying, standing in front of the porta potties all by myself because everyone else is gone. Laura's like, hurry up. And we are literally the last people that go over the start line.
Because you had to pee.
because I had to pee and then I couldn't stop crying.
I figured you'd already started running by the time I sent you that. So that was ill-timed on my part.
No, I was peeing. So we were running. That's the first time I met Jennifer Jones. And she was in a white throttle tutu.
Uh-huh.
So I met her running. And so the Urban Bourbon was fantastic. Ran that and I did pretty well. I wanted to be under 3 hours. I did it in 2:36. So I was pretty happy. And then after the Urban Bourbon, I moved on to, I think I went right back into the Triple Crown. The Triple Crown again. And then I did my first KDF race. So that was my first half marathon with KDF. And that was a blast. And I remember seeing everybody afterwards with the tent. So, yeah, was boys. And it was so much fun. And then I just, gosh, I don't know how many half marathons I've done at this point. 4 or 5, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of 5Ks. And it's just turned into where I want to do a duathlon. I bought my bike. So it's really expanded. And I've done a lot of racing. And I went to, if you want me to bring up Indy, I did my first marathon.
I did want you to bring it up. I wasn't going to let this go. I said, I do want you to bring it up. So
anyway,
you did your first marathon.
After KDF last year, ran my half marathon there. It was fantastic. And I said, you know what? If I'm ever going to run a longer race, I'm going to sign up for the Downtown Doubler. I'm like, I can do this. The Downtown Doubler is 30K, which is 18.6 miles. And I trained all summer. It was terrible. And a week before, I said, well, if I'm this far, I might as well just sign up for a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
So I signed up for the Indy Monumental. The only person I told was Brian, because we were training together. And he was like, well, I guess I will too. I was like, it didn't take long to talk somebody into it. So the Downtown Doubler a week later. Oh my God, it was miserable. It was terrible, just terrible. You saw me, I crossed the finish line, Stephanie Boyd here is trying to put a medal around my neck and I'm like, I'm gonna vomit. And she goes that way and she points.
Please exit left to vomit, yes. I'll be here.
Exactly, but it was a great experience. I learned a lot. I learned a lot about nutrition. I learned a lot about hydration and I learned a lot about how all that is affected in the heat.
Yep.
Really bad heat. And then I was like, well, I'm stuck. I've already signed up for this. Cause if it would have happened after that, I would not have signed up for that marathon. So I signed up for it and I started running some of my runs. All my runs were with, Brian at that point, but I started running some of my runs with Sherry and Jennifer. They were already signed up for a marathon and we were kind of just tagging along. They were ahead of us. But the four of us planned a point to point and we ran the Parkland point to point. So it was about 19 miles, a little over 19 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sherry introduced Kerry Lorch to the group, but Kelly did not know that we were training for a marathon. She's like, why are you all running all these miles? Why would you all do this if you weren't signed up for a marathon? And I was like, oh, we're just doing it for support.
Yeah.
So then
I remember texting someone. I don't know who it was. It was Allison or maybe Tara Jo or somebody else. Like, Stephanie's doing something. She's doing something because there's no point. I mean, no one just, I like Kelly, no one's just out there. No one does this. Well, some people do it for fun, but if you hadn't done that distance already, there, you know, unless you're really thinking about it, you know, you're not running all this just for fun. So I had my suspicions long before I figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
So. But then you went and you did your marathon and the weather was much different.
It was cold.
Yep. And you had learned about nutrition for and racing in hot weather. So how did you adjust and what did you learn in running your first marathon? And how did you feel when you crossed the finish line? Explain that to people.
Oh, I don't know if I should.
Yeah, you can. It's fine. This is real. This is real. You know, it's not like TV where everybody, you know, comes across the finish line and is like, that's so amazing and blah, blah, blah.
It wasn't. It wasn't. We ran it as a group, but then Bron got grumpy, so we left him.
Grumpy cat.
What?
Grumpy cat was on the course.
He just wanted to be left alone, so eventually we just left him alone. The marathon itself was great. There was a lot of different things. I mean, 26.2 miles, you're going to run across a bunch of different things. Mm-hmm. There was kids passing out candy, which was really sweet. There was somebody dressed up in a panda bear costume, you know, on the side of the road cheering. Lots of cheer teams. We ran through a couple different, you know, parks and such, and it was a really cool way to see Indy.
Mm-hmm.
My nutrition, I never felt bad. My stomach never hurt. I think my intervals might have been off. I did 90-30. I know a lot of people do 90-30, but for a half marathon, I'm thinking it's too much stop and go for me. I feel like I start hurting.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to try something else, maybe a little bit different next time. I finished the finish line, across the finish line, and one of my favorite pictures is like I'm ducked down and like I'm giving the middle finger. And it was kind of like, for so long I've had so many people telling me I can't do something or I can't do this and I can't do that. And I've listened to people my whole life telling me I can't do something, and I did it. Like I was like, screw you. Like, I just did this. Like, this is something, what, 1%? 1% of the population does. But my feelings on it was, meh. I ran 5Ks and powered and great about it. I finished on that urban was like, it's static. And I was like, I can't believe I just did that. It's amazing. But the marathon, I was like, okay. And I'm not quite sure why. But I think that's why I signed up for the chance to get into Chicago. And I didn't think I would get it. But I'll be at Chicago Marathon in October. So I'm hoping that it will be a different outcome for me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Didn't it feel like it was just you?
Yeah. I think everybody has... I think everybody, first of all, has this idea that the longer, like, running is about those longer distances sometimes, and that that's what you need to do in order to be a runner. And, you know, I know the first half marathon I did, thought I was done. Like, I was like, okay, I finished, I didn't die. It was a cool feeling, but I wasn't overwhelmed by it. And the same, my first marathon, my whole goal was just to finish. I didn't have a time goal. I didn't want to wake up 2 days later and A, not knowing I couldn't do it, but B, feel horrible. Like, I wanted to feel good. I didn't want to be one of those people that like limped away from something, because that's no fun for me. But I across the finish line, my mom and my kids were there to see me do it, and that was great. But I was like, oh, okay. And I had to do it again before I felt really good. And I think it's because that first race, like, same thing with half marathons. Now when I've crossed the finish line, I feel really good. I still, lots of times, still have gas in my tank. And I don't hurt the next day or the next couple of days. Same thing with marathons. So I think it's about learning and getting to where you feel like you've really conquered it. Or you've really, like, not defeated, because that's a bad word, but you did it right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a weird feeling, I know. I mean, you should always be proud every distance that you 5K, half marathon, whatever, that you finish. But I think for me, it's more of a challenge. There's other challenges, not just the distance part of it. Like, there's some mental things there that I have to defeat every time. And so you don't always feel ecstatic when you cross the finish line. It's just not. So I always want runners to think that too, because I do know people that try their first 5K and they don't feel really good when they cross the finish line. It's not always going to feel good, you know, and especially if you're new and you're trying to figure out nutrition, hydration, you know, the one thing you can control is the weather. So you could be completely trained up for something and the weather just totally blow your, all your plans out the window. I know for downtown Doubler, your training was great and you were looking really good. And then the day you crossed the finish line, you didn't look so great. You know, I mean, it's just, that's just how it goes. So I hope, if anything, we could just like explain to people that it's not always what it looks like or what you think it's going to look like, and to just be prepared for anything, because then you're not disappointed. And at the end of the day, you still did cross the finish line, right? And you still achieved the goal that you set out to. It just may not look the same or feel the same as you thought it would. But yeah, I'm kind of with you. Like, the first time isn't always the greatest. So thinking about, I was going to ask you too about what your future plans are. I know you said you already wanted to do a duathlon. Are you thinking about doing that in 2020 or 2021?
You know what? I don't know what to look at for anything in 2020 right now with this coronavirus. I feel like I'm going to have a really busy fall,
Yeah, you and the rest of America. Lordy. I
mean, oh my gosh, even my concerts, like I'm waiting for, yeah, everything's on hold. So I don't want to make any plans. I do want to get on my bike more. I'm going to get on my bike today, actually. And you can see me too. Outside, not inside. but I need to get on my bike more. But I mean, maybe something, probably 2021. But yeah. I'm also looking at Amsterdam for a half marathon in the fall of 2021.
Oh, wow. That sounds amazing. What race is that?
I don't know. I just Googled it.
Okay.
It was like half marathons in Amsterdam.
That's awesome.
But one of my life goals is to see the Van Gogh Museum and the flower maze that is all along the outside of the out of the museum. And I love sunflowers. So I thought that would be, I don't try to make plans to places. I try to make plans to have experiences.
Do things, yeah. That's awesome. I had no idea that was an option. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so you can come with me.
Oh my gosh, that would be amazing. We'd have to bring my husband.
I kind of feel like a man should be there. We could.
He's like, oh, you're not going there without me. I want to go. That's what he would say.
It'll
He'd like to travel.
Runs this town with Chris.
Yeah, Chris runs this town.
But we can come on,
we could just a nice long trip,
but we just gotta get over this coronavirus,
right? But yeah, we need to have it all clear before we travel to Amsterdam. That would be
absolutely, but no, that's one of my goals, is to actually get out and start visiting other places other than Kentucky. So
yeah,
I've got some traveling nurse friends and some friends that live around the United States, and I'm going to try to take advantage. I'm missing my D.C. trip in May. I was supposed to be in D.C. this May to see Aaron.
Right.
And that is very disappointing. So.
Yeah, I know you guys were all disappointed about that.
Yeah.
So, you know, going back and thinking about your first 5K to what you've done already and some of the plans that you have moving forward, what if people are listening right now that are thinking about running or might be thinking about restarting their running journey? There's this whole movement going on online now. I don't know if you know about it, but you can go follow the hashtag Release the Runner. And it's about people right now who are maybe thinking about running, because honestly, that's one thing that we, most of us still have the ability to go outside and do despite being in kind of this shelter in place mode. We're still free to move about, most people. And so walking or running is kind of a movement people are going to be able to get outside, get fresh air and stay healthy. So I'm just wondering if people are listening right now during this time, what would you say to them to think about them getting moving, whether it's walking, because that's how a lot of people start running, is walking, right? So kind of to build up. But what advice would you give, or what words of wisdom would you give to somebody to get them moving right now?
Lots of wisdom, lots of encouragement. I think so many times in our life we have this excuse that we don't have the time, and yet we're given this gift of time right now. So we are not utilizing it at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of us are complaining about being at home, and you know, we can joke about it, and it is funny. Wow, how many times have you had the opportunity to take days off or weeks off with your family and like really get to know them and enjoy, you know, that nature and enjoy what you work so hard for? We mm-hmm. work hard for our homes, and we work hard for our automobiles and our families, and we have all this time, and it's time that we can utilize that. So my number one thing would be to get outside, start walking your animals, start getting with your family. There's hiking trails everywhere. I think people are oblivious to what opportunities there are in Louisville, but mm-hmm. around wherever they live. But in Louisville, it's amazing. We've got the Greenway, the Parkland, Cherokee Park. There's trails at Joe Creason Park. There's trails everywhere. There's ways to walk. You just have to do it. You have to make it fun. It doesn't have to be, oh, I don't want to go out and run, but I'm going to go run 30 minutes. You can make it fun. It doesn't have to be hard.
Mm-hmm.
Couch to 5K was giant. I mean, it was a huge factor for me. I did Couch to 5K, and I did it. I doubled up the weeks. So I did week one twice, week two twice, week three twice. And that way, when it felt hard the first time, it got easier the second time. And then I felt like I was ready to move on. And that was a big key factor in my running. I feel like if I can do it, anyone can do it. I smoked cigarettes for 15 years. My breakfast choice was a Pop-Tart and a Diet Coke and a cigarette. I've been 130 pounds. I've been 175 pounds. I've been all over the board with weight. I think once you start walking more, you're moving, you feel better. It's for mental clarity. It's going to help you all over. And you don't have to run. You can just walk, get out, and start moving. And I think when you fill your cup and you're a better person for you, you're a better person for your kids, you're a better person for your family, you're a better person for your friends. And I think what you take out of something, you give back. So whatever you take out from that, you start to give back to other people. And I think we can become a full circle. Just people have to go out and create their own happiness. And it's sunshine and happiness right now outside. I'm looking out the windows and it's beautiful. And I know there's people on their couches right now, like watching Netflix for 16 hours. Just go outside.
Yeah, I feel like I have rediscovered how running makes me feel the last 3 weeks, because I think I'm typically like a pretty level person in terms of my mood. I'm typically pretty generally happy person with a little sarcasm on the side card, but I typically am in a good mood. When I'm feeling a little low, going out and running will make me feel so much better. And it's really hard to like make those steps to just get out the door at a normal time sometimes, because you're busy and life's taking you 400 different ways. But I just try to remind myself how good I feel, and that gets me out the door. Well, now during these times, I tend to be more at one end of the spectrum than I normally am. So I'm either like on a really low spot more than normal, or I'm at a higher spot, and that's less than I usually would be. So it's even harder. It feels like it's even physically harder for me to get up and go outside. But when I'm done, man, I mean, I haven't felt like that in I can't tell you how long. So I think this whole experience has also, when you're talking about some of the gifts that we've gotten, I think it's helped me understand even more so why running is important to me and why we shouldn't take it for granted. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try to hold on to that feeling for as long as I can, because, you know, we just don't know how long this is going to go on. And when we all go back to normal, which we will, I don't want to forget, you know, that I took running for granted, I think, at some point.
I think it's also huge. I suffer terribly with depression. I go back and forth. I'm a lot more on that middle to lower end. I know my energy, and I try to, I'm a happy person, and positive energy equals positive reaction. So I try to give my energy and I get positive reactions from people, and that positive reaction feeds my energy, and I just feel like it's a full circle. I just try to give and get, give and get, give and get. So yeah, the holiday time is usually really hard for me. So I kind of came out of it in February and I was feeling a lot better. So this kind of took me right back into like a more of a lower. So it is hard for me to get out the door sometimes. And mm-hmm. I think that's when she runs this town and friends come and play. Like I have to tell people, like I'll text Kelly Lorch, Kelly, hold me accountable. I have to run tonight. And she'll text me 6 o'clock, have you ran? And I'm like, oh, no, I haven't. And I'll get dressed and I'll go out the door. And before it was, we were meeting up with one another. Now our friendships are all just, they're different. We're, mm-hmm. but I need that connection somehow. And if it's a text message saying, get your ass out the door, that's what I need right now.
Yeah.
And you know what? And I'll put it out there. And I know this will, I don't know when this will run or whatever, but anytime anyone needs motivation or they need someone to set a reminder, I am one message click away. Like I will hold people accountable and I will probably ask them to do the same because right. I definitely need it. So that is definitely, I'm your girl for accountability.
I agree with that. I can attest to that. That's right. I watch you and then I'm like, okay, well, I have to go do it now because she did it. Like if Stephanie's doing it, I'm not going to do it. So
full circle.
That's right. So just thinking about that, I think all of that is great advice. But if we want to circle back around to kind of end this podcast, I always ask people about what BAMR means to them. So we all know what it stands for and what this podcast is about. And I always like to get it in your own words. When you hear the word BAMR, you think about what a BAMR is. How do you define that? Or what does that look like to you?
And it's changed. BAMR, badass mother runner. And I think that's what it is. You're a badass. You really are. Like you're going out and you're giving it your all. You're a runner and it doesn't matter what level you're at. It doesn't matter how slow you are. It doesn't matter how fast you are. It doesn't matter if you're doing a 1 mile or 100 miles. You're going out there and you're being a badass at what you're doing. The mother part for me, I'm a badass dog mother runner, I guess. I need to put a D mm-hmm. in there. but it just means you go out there and you have ambitions and you're trying. And you know what? We're all working on it together. So just like you. You're our OG, Stephanie.
Well, I haven't been around that long, but some of you have been running way longer than me, but I do my best to try to keep up with you. So that's got to count for something. But well, I mean, I definitely think that you fall into that category, which is why I asked you to come on the podcast. But I think you have a really positive way that you stay motivated and keep other people motivated. And I know even that you do sometimes struggle with getting down and you're still a very positive influence for other people. And I hope that you get that back from all the runners in our community and it helps keep you lifted up and motivated because we're all watching you and we're all taking cues from you and getting so much from the life that you lead every day. So I want you to know you're very important to everybody in our group and people that are watching you on your journey.
Oh, you're gonna make me tear up and you can't even see me.
Well, if people want to follow you on social media, do you have any accounts where people can, do you document any of your running anywhere where people could watch you that you're comfortable with sharing? And I can put it in the show notes. I'm going to put a link to the Couch to 5K in the show notes too, in case people are listening, want to know more about that program.
You know what? I don't, but I need to get started. So maybe that's something you can help me with.
Okay. Yeah. I'd love to do that.
Yay.
Okay. Well, I guess with that, we're going to wrap up because I know you need to go get outside and I'm going to go do my workout for the day so Woo. That we can motivate each other that way. And I just want to thank you for coming on the show and for sharing a little bit about your running journey with us. And I look forward to watching to see you on the road to Amsterdam next year. So
Yay.
Thanks a lot, Stephanie.
Bye, Stephanie. Love you.
Bye. Love you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Bluegrass Bammer podcast. If you like what you've heard, hit subscribe to the podcast so you can catch the next episode when it's live. Also, you can find me on my blog. That is bluegrassbammer.wordpress.com. Or you can follow me at Bluegrass Bammer on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. See you next time, and until then, happy running.